The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. It is 5.5 minutes after the hour. The news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, right here in the city of Reading. Same great customer service after they've expanded. And, of course, the new walk-in humidor expanded and even better. Good morning, everybody. I hope that everybody that's listening to this is doing well. And I didn't mean necessarily that you're still home, but that you're doing well, that if you've had to evacuate, that your family is safe, your loved ones are safe, that people know that you're safe. There's so much news. We're going to be talking about, you know, from reports from 12 hours ago, but the newest briefings are happening right now.
And let's talk about our show, our lineup that we're going to be on the air today. We're going to be also taking calls from people that we're going to encourage to call in during the show and tell us if they need a place to talk to or an experience that they've had. We do encourage people to call in at 605-4567. And because boots on the ground really right now are telling us what's going to be happening. But first, let's go with our weather forecast. It's currently 73 degrees in the downtown studio, so today our high will be 106, sunny and hot. And, of course, we know that we have skies filled with smoke. And so right now the temperature feels like it's partly cloudy, but much of that is smoke. Tonight will be 74, and tomorrow calls for 105, and Wednesday 102. So we still have those triple-digit figures in front of us. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
And if I may, I know we're going to get a lot of people who are very passionate about some things, but this is probably not the time to point fingers and whip out your favorite axe to grind. This is the time to pull together as a community. There'll be plenty of time for investigations, recriminations, who did what wrong, who did, you know. Let's talk about what's going right. As somebody who has been displaced twice in a row with this incident, a lot of people are in this same boat. And let's pull it as a community.
Let's start with the fact is that this fire was started by a recreational vehicle whose tire went flat.
It happened to anybody, anytime.
And heading up to...
Non-militia.
Yeah, they were around Whiskeytown. As soon as they stopped and they realized the fire had started, they called the authorities. There was no indication that they drove on a rim for a mile or anything like that, if you see photos. To say that they should be held responsible, it's something that could happen to anybody. That's all I can say.
An accident.
And how many times have you had a flat tire? And in this kind of weather, with this kind of new norm of things being this dry and being dry like this, that
brittle.
It's going to continue to happen like that. But as of this morning, the other thing too is when people ask us, well, you keep repeating the same thing. Well, a lot of times we will try and we're going to be bringing in new people. I shouldn't say new people, but different points of view and all this. But the statistics are statistics. And this is when you start talking statistics. They don't change dramatically every 5 minutes. So they do briefings. They do two briefings a day at 7 p.m. and at 7 a.m. The 7 a.m. briefing's going on now. The sheriff's going to give us a call as soon as that's over and tell us what's going on with the latest. But as of right now, over 95,000 acres have been burned. It's 17% contained, way up from where it was 3% on yesterday. The Shasta Trinity County line, it looks like, appears is on fire in several areas, burning down to 299. An evacuation order for Weaverville was rescinded, so they're not going to evacuate. How many houses?
As of this count, now, again, we're going to keep repeating, and when Carl was saying earlier, is, you know, when you're watching the news, is they are filling the information they have at that time. And it may that, you know, the leaderboard, if you want to call it, or whatever the information board that, that's fed to you, will may in 30 minutes from now, this may change. We'll get our information. We'll let you know. But as of now, 657 homes destroyed, 3 commercial, 214 other buildings, and damaged 160. We know that we have 7 people missing. There's been 6 deaths. The 6th person at this time, the 6th person, they would not release. As of this morning, they did not release the information. Now, that may change in 30 minutes. We may know the name and the cause and the incident of what happened with the 6th person. But, again, there's 7 people missing. And I think I do believe as they go into places. We have so many people that are displaced at this point, Carl. We're telling our listening audience.
37,000, over 37,000 people evacuated.
A third of our metro population.
A third of our metro population.
I mean, now, we talked to our bankers, our doctors. We can't even begin to tell you this. The fire does not care who you are and what you have.
It's a beast.
And
if you look at it like this, 17 square miles of Redding is vacant right now due to evacuations. 17 square miles of Redding.
And so we've had, we talked with our banker, displaced, and I'm not sure if he's back in his home now or not, or the other people. And, of course, along with those lines, before I finish my thought, the court is closed for a week. That means if you're jury duty, you don't have to report anything that has to do with the court. If there's a restraining order or anything else, they said just tack on another week. We are closed for a week until August
6th. Shasta County Courthouse. Well, you look at the DA and how many others have been evacuated. The DA's been evacuated. Chief Roger Moore, our police chief, lost his home. I also heard that his parents also lost their home, as have numerous other police and first responders, the firemen. And fire personnel, I should say now, that have lost their homes in this thing and turned around and went back fighting.
Let me finish my thought. When it came to the banker, when we had were not sure, I mean, our bags are still packed, by the way. They were packed on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, okay, today's Monday.
We're still packed.
Our artwork went someplace else that we could store it. But he had said all the hotel rooms up, forget about it. He said the hotel rooms all the way to Woodland are booked up.
They had a segment today in Chico. Everything's closed. We had people coming in this week for a reason, and we've just advised them not to come, and we gave up all those hotel rooms. It was, you know, like 6 more rooms that
we
they
did. Meaning Carl and I had a celebration. Still going to celebrate, but, you know, because you always want to celebrate when you're turning a milestone.
Yeah, that's going to be a small one.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know,
I'd rather give up the hotel rooms. To
that's
people
right.
who are displaced. And we are going to have a large pool of people who are going to need rentals. Bob, I know you've been wanting to say something, so let me talk about the rentals in a minute.
Well, I don't know if you – there's so much to keep up on, but a former coworker, Robert Withrow, his home is gone.
Oh, well, there's been several others that I mean, there's so many people that we know. There isn't anybody. Let me put it this way. There is nobody we know that has not been touched.
Yeah.
Nobody we know has not been touched in
this
one
area.
Way in this area. I mean, either you have, your friends have, your family has. I mean, everybody has been affected by this fire, by this monstrous fire that started and acted like no other fire has ever.
Now, there's a lot of question about, well, why can't we go back to fires past? The trouble is there are holdovers and hot spots, and it's going to be days. And the sheriff said the other day it's going to be a phased return to the neighborhoods. As they determine that the danger is past, we'll let you go home.
The mayor's going to be in here today. at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk about that with Kristen Schrader, because I talked to her yesterday. She's asking direct questions to the CAL FIRE people, and we're going to address that. When can we get back in? What's going to happen next? What's the plan of moving forward? And, frankly, let's hope that our best minds down there at City Hall and the county and I know they're working together right now, have coming up with plans how to move us forward and how to get past this as fast as possible. You know, we're going to be on the air for a long time today, so we're going to take a break now.
We also are going to be, a lot of the program today will be updating you, but it also will be about the aftermath. We're in somewhat of an aftermath of what we do. We do have a psychologist that's going to be with us, a doctor of psychology that's going to be talking about, you know, what PTSD in the form of what that does in losing something and the idea of losing a home and your belongings. When people say it's just stuff, I wish stuff stood for something, S-T-U-F-F. And maybe somebody will figure that out because your stuff sometimes...
Nothing I can say on the air.
Yeah, I mean, your stuff sometimes will be memories of those things that you can touch and feel, and they make you the smell like, we'll have several stories of people who bring their childhood teddy bears or a quilt their grandmother made or something like that. That's just, when that's gone, that just, it's a comfort zone. It's like a comfort food. So we're going to talk about a lot of these things this morning. And again, we're taking your calls, and Facebook has never been a nicer friend over these last 3 days, being able to keep everybody in touch.
Or it passes information, not good information sometimes. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Besides the mayor and Dr. Patty Bay, the sheriff's going to be calling in. We're going to be having the president of Simpson University will be coming through and talking about the things they're doing out there. We're also going to be sharing where donations can be sent, all of these things, all through the day here at Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460. I just thought I'd hold on to it for a second. We'll be right back.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
There are many reasons changing your oil with Havoline products is a good decision. Two of the most important reasons, changing your oil on a regular basis improves gas mileage and promotes engine longevity. At Premier Oil Change, we pride ourselves in making it more convenient. There's no appointment necessary. Just drive in, you stay in your car, enjoy a free beverage while you wait, free Wi-Fi, easy in, easy out, and we use quality Havoline motor oil. You earn rewards points with every dollar you spend, giving you the ability to earn free services from Premier Oil Change. Premier Oil Change cares about your car and your time, so we make it our business to make your car maintenance as friendly as possible. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today and get your car services with Havoline products. Visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. danscottpainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
My mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
And now, Carl and Linda Botts. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 1460. On our morning show, we are live here. We want to do, first of all, just a big gratitude and thank you and a shout out for all of the first responders, the firefighters that have, you know, left their homes. And we've seen so many interviews and pictures, incredible photographs of the, like, four or five firefighters just laying on the ground sleeping. They've been pulling 24 to 36 hour shifts, and then they rest for that period of time, and they come back. Firefighters, we have the number has changed. I'll get the number here in a minute of what we have here. There was a website that I pulled up in a second. I'll come back with the figures of the bulldozers, the amount of people that are coming from all over California that are here fighting the fires. And again, we are 17% contained. What I wanted to ask in this segment of the show as Carl's come back into the room, that, you know, when you were, of course, you're a Marine, always a Marine, a former Marine, but always a Marine-minded. And so when you see these images of these firefighters that are, you know, just laying down where they can, it doesn't matter if it's on the ground, they're in their gear. You know, tell us a little bit about what that's like to push your body beyond comfort and go into, there's got to be an adrenaline thing that happens. I mean, it's very much like being in combat.
Well, it is in combat. Your life's in danger many times on these things. Now, here's what we've discovered is that when you start pushing your body and you're doing it day after day, at a certain point, your body's going to stop. You go further and further than you think you can, but at some point it is going to stop. If you're running 12 hour shifts, well, our firefighters are doing 24 on, 24 off, 24 on, 24 off in some areas. Well, the thing about that is you can say they get 24 off. Well, you don't really get 24 off because it takes you a while to get to a place. It takes you, a time to come down, and then you sleep and rest. You still got to eat. You've got to do all those other things for that 24 hours. And you can do this. You can sustain this for a while. But the thing about watching those firefighters drop and get their rest, yeah, you'll see that after missions, people coming back and just they clean their weapons, and then that's it. They're out. They're gone. You grab other people to help watch over them at times, but yeah, or you catch naps anytime you can. You find yourself sleeping in places and during times that you would never think about.
Just laying
artillery,
in a ditch.
Artillery firing, and that you just you're gone, mm-hmm. and you sleep, and you know for 10-15 minutes somebody kicks you in the foot. Let's go. And up you go again. And then now you got to get your guys up, your guys and girls. Well, in my case, it was all guys. You get them up, get them going. You make sure they're being checked. Your ones in charge, your NCOs, they're so, so valuable because those NCOs are checking and making sure that they got their stuff, they've got their ammo, they got their water. Is the comms up? My first sergeant is moving around. I'm with my platoon commanders pushing them out that way. Or larger units or smaller units, small units where you're out there a long time by yourselves, that works on you too. Now, you don't have that so much, except the closest I think I would of that would be probably be your hot shots, where they could push into areas and are fighting fires and are having to rely on themselves, even though they have supporting arms like helicopters coming in and dumping and maybe planes coming over, and that they've got their escape routes and people are working that way. But if you look at it, if you look at the total of this, the 3,386 people fighting this fire, and the one of the men that died was a dozer operator, 81 years old. Mm. He's out there fighting fires. And you know what? I understand that. He's a bulldozer operator. He can do this. A very beloved fire inspector here and from Reading died out there. And, of course, the tragedy with the grandmother or the great-grandmother and her great-grandchildren dying up on caught in the fire.
Oh, man.
And we heard her husband talking about it. And It is just, you know, I don't want to even get into it. But it is heart-rending when you hear these things. So many things going on. So many things, you know, road closures, evacuation centers. We're going to start hitting all of those. Bob?
Information just coming through on the Twitter feed. The local TV station, the total is 20,000, let me see here, 20% containment, 98,724 acres.
Okay, that's only 3,000 acres since 12 hours ago.
The first couple of days, this fire doubled in size every 24 hours.
Right.
Once you hit that 20% mark, you start making headway. We could still be prone to a wind event, and I'm hoping that my inside source will call and update us on these winds.
What we're talking about is if Brenda can call, she's the wind predictor. And so we'll be the wind officer.
Educated guesser.
Education guesser. She'll be calling in and talking to us about what the winds look like. But you're absolutely right, Bob. On the first night, it was, 6,000 acres. The next day you wake up, it's 24,000 acres. The next day, 40,000. The next day, 80,000. And then it's just been going up slowly. The same thing that you said. If they can keep it at 20%, it's not moving that rapidly, especially toward Reading. Reading may have dodged the bullet, but we're not sure yet. They're still closing. The latest road closures are 273 right here in town at from Reading to Anderson at Bonneview, Breslauer, Brandstetter, Clear Creek, Kenyon, and West Side Roads. The roads are closed. That's just right down the street here.
Mm-hmm.
So that just started.
And I think there's a lot of fear, too. I was looking at the RPD release talking about that the car fire has displaced thousands of people and many thousands or more in the surrounding areas. Mandatory evacuations have effectively left approximately 17 square miles vacant, like you said, inside the city. It's very important for non-emergency personnel to stay out of evacuated areas due to the potential safety risk posed by the car fire. Pedestrians and vehicles inside these areas can also inhibit the ability of emergency personnel to freely travel for official purposes. Now, we do know, personally, we have friends that have walked in to their home.
Okay.
They took the chance early on to walk in from the place that had been evacuated and letting people around there know whether they had lost their homes or not. But during this time, there's looting that has been going on, and we have two more arrested, Brian Cardoza and Frank Webb, in the area of, here what it says, officers, deputies, and wardens seek to protect citizens from hazards and prevent theft inside these areas. 409.5, the California Penal Code, describes conditions under which law enforcement can arrest subjects who knowingly enter evacuated areas. When a natural disaster warrants mandatory evacuation of an area, only authorized personnel may be within the boundaries of that area. So, during overnight patrols from July 29th, the officers have arrested two subjects of violation. Again, Brian Cardoza, 44 years of Reading, in the area of Benton Drive and Delta Street, and also Frank Webb, 37, of Reading on Cedars Boulevard. So beware, because this is like a push-hard, vigilant point of where there's no padding of the hand about
no, this is a strikes. Federal, this is a federal offense here, looting is. Okay, Bob, you said that East Bonneview does remain open. It's West Bonneview leading
to
East Side, that road that is blocked. Okay.
Yeah, that's where they set up the roadblock, is across, the big train crossing is there. Mm-hmm. That's where they have it blockaded. But if you are coming down 273, you can still go over onto Bonneview to get to I-5.
I-5, okay. Yeah. Good. Thanks a lot, Terry. Hey, we've got other people will be calling in also here. Evacuation centers, let's just discuss that. Shasta College is closed. They have reached their maximum. Simpson University is open, and they've got room. In fact, the new president of Simpson will be joining us today. Foothill High School in Palo Cedro is open. The Cross Point Community Church has room. There's more. We're going to be getting to more of them. But the high school in Weaverville is also open and has room. There's other places in town as we're gathering them up right now to find out where the other evacuation centers are. But the ones I've just talked about, Simpson, Foothill, and Cross Point Community Church on Hartnell is open. They are open and then can take people. We're going to be talking later on also with people on where do we start donating. Tri-County's Bank has started. In fact, I've got a number of things here I'll be calling up right now. But evacuation, all the evacuation stations that we know of, Valley Christian Center in Anderson, Foothill High School in Palo Cedro, Simpson, Cross Point, Grace Baptist Church on Sherman Creek in Redding. The Redding Rodeo Grounds will be taking pets and large animals, especially the larger animals. Tehama County Fairgrounds will take large animals and livestock. Trinity High School in Weaverville, as we mentioned, is taking people. And Shasta College is currently at capacity. And the evacuation center, again, for Redding Rodeo Grounds. On the phone, we have Joe Comente. Joe, who is the head of Builders Exchange. Good morning, buddy. What's going on?
It as we all know, it's been an extremely surreal weekend for many, many people. I've been here 22 years and never seen anything like this. We live up in the River Ridge neighborhood. The fire literally came up to our door, and
Wow. Thanks
to some outstanding firefighting, it did not get our home. And thanks to some great policing, our neighborhood's been pretty safe. But it is surreal. I think that's the best word I can use to describe the event.
Nobody has seen a fire do this in the way it did. We went looked down on Harlan Drive, and they said that this firenado. We saw large limbs of trees ripped off and dropped on cars. It was just, yeah. I mean, it wasn't burnt off. They weren't cut off. They fell or were ripped off when this fire came through there.
Yeah, that was the same that happened in Land Park. A lot of the initial damage and what really expedited the growth of the fire, I'm told, was a result of these fire tornadoes that just came mm-hmm. in and created the disaster that a tornado creates, followed by an intensely heated fire.
Now, the reason I've reached out to you is not only because you're a citizen of our community, but in the Builders Exchange, over 500 homes, 17 square miles is evacuated right now. Now, we know not all of those homes are burnt, but we do know much of our area has been touched. And
yes.
Builders Exchange is the place where we're training our men and women to start for this kind of work.
Yes.
What do you foresee here? What do you foresee in the future, Joe?
Well, let's start with today. One of the first things I want to tell people is there are going to be a lot of unscrupulous, quote-unquote, builders coming into the area, I'm sure, to try to take advantage of situations like this. So for them to please check with us, we vet all of our members. And they're all licensed. So you don't want to be taken advantage of, especially at a time when you're really vulnerable. And then I plan on having a meeting with Larry Voppel, as you know, who runs the City Development Services,
mm-hmm.
and see if we can't come up with a checklist for expediting this, because for a lot of people, this is not something they've ever been through. It's very traumatic, and any way that our government can assist them in stepping through it, then I think that would be awesome. To answer your question, we are going to need skilled workers. And I actually spent the weekend with a very close family who was gracious enough to let us in, and their son is in our electrical program. And our community is going to need skilled carpenters and plumbers and electricians to rebuild, because we have a lot of rebuilding to do. And this is what we were all concerned about because of the shortage of skilled labor, that you get hit with a crisis of this magnitude, it really leaves you in a difficult situation. So we've got 84 students now, most of whom are ready to go on the job, and most of them are on the job, and we're hoping we can continue to recruit and develop more, because this will take several years, as we know, to get through.
So, Joe, being that you and your family are displaced, you find
yes.
yourself finding out in your neighborhood your house was there, but others are not.
Yes.
And
it is.
That feeling today.
It is. You don't know. You know, there's a certain part of you that says, why did it go through all these houses and not get to mine? And then the whole what ifs, and then the fear when Debbie and I and our dogs were fleeing literally on Thursday night, as I drove out of my neighborhood, my expectation was I'd never see the house again, which is okay. It's a house, you know, it really does help you put in perspective. My family was safe. So, but it is unnerving. It really is unnerving. And I know a lot of people out there, and I have a lot of friends who lost their homes. It is a very frightening and unsettling situation that we're all experiencing.
So this is a time that we've been packed and, you know, ready for the knock on the door. So on Thursday night, it was surreal in very many ways. You know, I think people are watching. You can tell after the Northridge earthquake, being in that area and knowing friends from that, it was just people were in shock. You know, how you knew your life at one point can change in an instant. And there's more happening and unfolding before us in this very moment.
Yeah, this fire, I think, as of last night, was about 17% contained, which is significantly better than the 5%. But we're dealing with 95,000 acres, a couple of thousand firefighters, a whole lot of law enforcement. I mean, there's a lot that still needs to go on. And the good thing is that we have such a great community that people responded immediately with opening shelters and opening their homes, and the people are rallying together, which is, you know, what makes our community the great community that it is.
You're absolutely right, Joe, and I think it's really important that when you talk about, there are going to be people that are going to be doing some unscrupulous things coming in from other areas. I would hope that nobody would do that. But if there's a checklist out there to say, to tell people, this is what you need to look for, this is the types of things that, you know, that good people or the people that know what they're doing, they're not going to take advantage of you. This is what you should expect. I think is really going to be important. And, you know, with the fires from down in Santa Rosa and all the other places, this new norm we have, we're going to be short workmen for years. Trained professionals that can go down there and frame houses and put in electricity and put in the plumbing and all that. And, 68 dozers out there operating in this fire right now. I got a feeling they could probably use more if they had the people.
Absolutely. I mean, it really is showing what we've known and we've been talking about for the last several years, is there this gap exists, and we really need to recruit more young people to get into the trades, because they literally do build, and in this case, rebuild our community.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, just for people that say, why them and not me, people need to get over this quickly. There is no rhyme or reason. And if you try to, and I'm not saying this about you, but I'm just saying for anybody, if you try to figure out why, you'll go nuts. It just is. You know, why am I alive and the two guys over there not? You know, there is no rhyme or reason to it. And, you know, who knows? But if you try to come up with the answer, you know, the answer you should come up with was, it's just, you know, it just that way. It happened.
Yeah.
So
it just happened. And, I'm kind of a God person, so I put my faith in God. This is the road we're on. And we will continue forward. We always have as a race of people, and we'll continue to do that.
That's right.
It's a very unsettling time right now, though.
Okay, Joe, we'll take care, and thank you for calling in. And we're going to be in touch with you over the next few weeks, of course, as this continues, because it's going to take our community coming together and pushing forward, you know, and being, you know, being Shasta strong and Redding strong to keep this, you know, to overcome this and overcome it quickly.
Now, This will be the time we all have to work together.
And, Joe, there is a meeting at 4 o'clock today at the Civic. That's a community meeting. So I think, Carl, you're going to be there.
I'll be there. Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see you there, Joe, but hopefully and gather more information about where we go from here.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Well,
thanks
for
calling in.
You guys have a good day.
You too.
Road closures, Ashby Road and Lake Boulevard. Belt Line at Oasis, Benton and Quartz Hill Road, Buckhorn Summit at 299, Buenaventura at Keswick, Buenaventura at 299, Caterpillar at Market, Clear Creek Road and Cloverdale Lane, Highway 299 at Buckhorn Summit, Elk Drive at Carnelian, Eureka Way at Court Street, Gas Point at Clear Creek Road, Gas Point Road and Foster Road. Folks, I'm going to keep going down this list, but I think if you're listening and those of you around the country who are tuning into our broadcast today, this gives you a little bit of an insight of just how humongous this thing is. Happy Valley Trail and Hawthorne Road, Highway 299 at Buckhorn Summit, Iron Mountain Road at 299, Keswick Dam Boulevard at Keswick Dam Facility, Keswick Dam Road at Quartz Hill Road, Lake at Keswick, Lake at Oasis, Lake at Quartz Hill, Lower Springs Road at Swayze Drive, Market at Lake, North Market, South Lake, North Point at Redwood, Oasis Road and Lake Boulevard, Placer at Buenaventura, Placer at Muletown, Platina Road and Rainbow Lake Road, Platina Road and Placer Road, Planting Road and Gas Point Road, Braille Road at Buenaventura, Ridge Lane at 299, Riviera at Howard, 299 from Buenaventura Boulevard to Buckhorn Summit, 273 at Bonneview, 273 at Brandstetter, 273 at Boslauer, 273 at Clear Creek, 273 at Kenyon, 273 at West Side Road, Swayze Drive and Placer Road, two more folks, Texas Springs and Placer, and Texas Springs Road and Honeybee Road.
Okay, the latest update as of 7:30 this morning, 98,724 acres destroyed, 20% contained. Good, that's good news. Bad news, 723 residences, 3 commercial buildings, 240 outbuildings destroyed, 159 residences, 4 commercial structures, and 30 outbuildings damaged. That's as of 7:30 this morning, just coming out on CAL FIRE. And evacuation centers, Shasta College, Simpson University, Cross Point Community Church, that we've told you about, is on Hartnell, Trinity High School in Weaverville, Foothill High School off Deschutes Road in Palo Cedro, large animal evacuation centers to Hema County Fairgrounds on Antelope Boulevard, Haven Humane, Anderson Factory Outlet, and Mark Story is going to be calling in a few minutes on this. And the sheriff is just giving me links, too, as we're going through that I'm reading right now. The cause of the fire, of course, is mechanical failure of the vehicle. The number of firefighting personnel, 3,388, 334 fire engines, total fire crews, 63. Bob, what's that mean when you've got 3,000 people but 63 total fire crews? Do you know what that means?
Well, it's like your military organization where you've got
like battalions.
Battalions.
I see. Okay.
And the structure is very, very similar.
Oh, very much.
The fire structure is very similar.
Because I've seen that. I've seen the fire crews out there. So I understand what it is. So you'll have 63 organizations that's running the 3,300 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bear in mind, there are 30 agencies involved in this incident with CAL FIRE as the lead, but I spoke to an aviation person who was called up from Georgia to come assist with
coming,
the incident over the country.
People are literally flying in. 17 total helicopters, 68 dozers, 65 total water tenders. Now, see, the dozers, I just have a feeling that they could probably use more.
Yeah.
If they had them.
And a lot of people were wanting to know.
By the way, there's other fires going on, too, around here.
People over Friday and over the weekend, why aren't we hearing the aircraft? Why aren't we hearing the aircraft? The conditions were absolutely impossible to get planes over the fire because of the smoke. The last thing we need is an aircraft smacking the ground.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. And just let me say is that Alliance Heating and Air, after all of this, if you need some help at your house, Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642. Check out their website, homecomfort.org. They're out there helping our people right now. Alliance Heating and Air, better-known business. Very, very, very good people there. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well-versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. On the phone, we have Mark Story, the CEO of Haven Humane. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
And first of all, we just want to give a big shout out and a thank you for what you've done and all your people. We know that so many people have come in here and to help. But can you give us an update of what's going on with Haven Humane and all the critters?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like you said, we've had a whole bunch of people help, and tomorrow I'm going to get a list so that tomorrow I can thank them all when I'm with you.
Yeah, Mark's coming on tomorrow with a more extensive plan on what's happening and how we're going to go forward.
So over the last few days, obviously, it's been kind of crazy for us. We were almost at capacity in the shelter before the fire kicked off. We took in approximately 300 plus animals. On top of that, at the shelter, we needed a secondary location. We found the Shasta outlets. They kindly donated some three buildings for us at the time. So we started getting that set up. That was Friday morning, and then Saturday. And so we started moving some animals down and taking intake down here for the evacuated animals. And then Saturday, the fire was, as the rest of the week, pretty unpredictable, so it looked like there was a chance it was going to head our direction, so we decided to go ahead and move all the evacuated animals down here and just keep the animals that were already at Haven at Haven. So we moved them all down here. We completely moved intake down here for all evacuated animals starting on Saturday morning, Friday night. As of now, we've got about 600 animals down here. The outlets really came through. They gave us three more spots, so we actually have six buildings down here right now. Every one of them has animals, volunteers, staff members in them taking care of the animals.
Wow.
And we're hoping that they're going to start sending people home today, which means hopefully we can start sending some of these animals.
Well, we're going to have the mayor on this morning at about 9 o'clock. So we're going to see if she's heard what's the latest she's heard, because she has been asking that specifically. When can we get these people the people home? So
yeah,
start finding out.
Well, I tell you, these firefighters and these guys on the line and all these guys that are out there, because I was out in the field the first 2 days, are doing an amazing job putting their lives on the line. And sadly, we've lost a few of them, which is horrendous. But they're doing just a fantastic job. So as usual, this community steps up and helps each other out in a time of need, and it's been pretty inspiring.
Well, Mark, we so appreciate with your busy schedule calling in this morning, and I know we're going to hear more from you tomorrow. But so again, in Anderson, you're taking the displaced animals for people who are perhaps in a shelter or a home. They can't be with their pets. You're taking them. What do you need? People are constantly texting and calling.
Right.
Where do we donate? What do we do? And today we decided we were all the information that we could collect and give to people. So it's a perfect time now that you're live on the air with us to tell us what you need.
So so the first thing is that we do not need any more items at this time. If people want to help, they can donate financially our Facebook page or on PayPal. And that way, when we do have needs that arise, we can use that money to get those things that we have. Again, the community has been fantastic. We have tons of food, tons of supplies for stuff, which is great, because once we send the animals back home, we still have a lot of people that are community members that don't have homes to go to. So all of that stuff that we have is going to go to those folks to help them. So that's one less thing that they have to worry about as they rebuild their lives. So we're going to make sure that all this stuff gets distributed over the next weeks, months, to really help out. The other thing that's really important is, this evacuation site is for people that are under mandatory evacuations only. This is not for somebody who lives in Cottonwood that wants to get out of the area. This is for people that have been mandatory evacuated. We don't have space for anybody else. We're making space for the folks that are being evacuated. That's really important.
And so I can imagine, because you're in a crisis mode right now, your Haven Humane is dealing with the animals and the families in crisis mode, but we still have the animals at Haven Humane. They need to be adopted. And so the word needs to be out for those people who are, you know, maybe it's a good time if it's a way to maybe do something good. If you can't somehow take in a family, but to adopt a pet. I know that sounds strange, but in a crisis mode, I mean, those animals need to find homes too.
Yeah, so there's some good news there, too, because we really haven't been staffing our adoption center. We just don't have time. We've been cleaning and taking care of them, but we haven't had time to staff that. We actually have a large rescue, Tony LaRusso's Animal Rescue Foundation in Walnut Creek, who came up a few days ago and took some animals to help us out. But they're actually coming up today with six rigs, and they're going to take the majority of our adoptable dogs. and they've worked with rescues down in the Bay Area so that they can all find homes quickly.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So they're going to alleviate a big percentage of our animals that are at the shelter which is great. So, again, in the animal care community is great. We have tons of organizations that are here that have come up to help us with this. Thank God, because we couldn't have done this alone. We just absolutely couldn't have. And like I said, tomorrow when I come on, I'm going to bring a list because I really do want to thank them. Yes. And I want to thank a lot of local people that have really helped out and made this possible.
On a sad note, buddy, I heard there was one of the animal facilities, local ones, that the fire hit it. Did you hear anything about that?
I have not heard that. I know that Trinity County Animal Shelter was evacuated yesterday. But
no, it wasn't a shelter. It was another chance or one of the – I'm going to look that up. But it was a sanctuary.
Yeah.
You're talking about Pets Without Partners, I'm guessing. Another chance?
Something like that.
We're not going to say what it is now until we look it up.
I have to look it up.
But I didn't know if you had heard about that. But anyway.
I have not. I have not heard anything about that.
Thank you so much for giving us a call. I know how busy you are. And we're looking forward for you being in here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock so you can talk tomorrow about what people should do with their pets because they're traumatized too.
Absolutely.
And luckily, I don't know. I'm not sure, but luckily, once the dogs and cats are back with their families, with their pack, you know, they'll settle down. It's us. If we act weird, they're going to act weird. So
that's correct. Yep.
Anyway, thank you so much, Mark, and all your volunteers for everything you do out there, buddy. And can't wait to see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Okay. Good luck. Other things. You know, that was, you know, a good point. What do they need? They need money. Everybody's given them plenty of food and all these things. Now, a local bank, Tri-Counties Bank, is accepting donations through its Car Fire Fund 2018. Donors can stop by local bank branches or give online at GoFundMe. The bank started with $25,000 deposit and has already raised more than $50,000. This was a while ago. The funds will be distributed through the United Way of Northern California and local nonprofits to help fire victims with immediate needs. Let's go to the phones. Tom,
good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Oh, it's Sheriff. Sheriff.
Sheriff Tom.
Good morning, Sheriff.
So,
how are you doing?
Safe. Tired.
Yeah, you sound like it, buddy.
Had any sleep, buddy?
Not as tired as the men and women of our firefighters and all the law enforcement folks that have been out there working 24/7 in the evacuation areas.
The latest update. You sent me a text, and we've looked it up. Over 700 homes destroyed.
Yeah, that's a conservative estimate with our. We call them windshield assessments. They go out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on getting a link for the damage assessment so people could go to a link and check. They're in the process of building this database and check on the status of their home. There are pictures included, too, so you could see if it's still standing or if it was a loss or a partial loss.
Wow.
And, you know, my heart and my prayers and sympathies go out to those people that have been displaced, but more importantly, those people that have lost everything in their homes. And there's a lot of those out there.
Sheriff, we've talked to people about, they've tried to get back in their areas. And, of course, the law enforcement, National Guard, they're not getting anywhere close to it. And we're seeing our favorite species, the looter, is starting to pop up. But
we made two arrests yesterday, caught them in a house that burglarized three homes. They were arrested and also included the charge of looting and in a being in an evacuation area, which is a crime. And then RPD made an arrest yesterday that's on their website of two people. Didn't get them from looting, but they were out and about. And so check their most recent news release. I know it's on their Facebook page as well. They arrested a parolee on warrant, but he was out and about in an evacuation area up to no good, so they probably prevented a looting. We arrested another person that was in an evacuation area, had some warrants and other charges. The same thing, we probably prevented looting. And then RPD got a guy out and about in the evacuation area. A criminal, I'll leave it at that. And he had a gun in his backpack, and so he went to jail. And it's a crime for anyone to be in an evacuation area. People are trying to get in and looky-loo around, coming from back ways and back roads that maybe National Guard and our CHP partners are not aware of, or coming in on bicycles, getting it out and about, and that's a crime to enter an evacuation area. So all the officers are taking a hard stance of people that are in these evacuation areas. Some people have failed to evacuate, and then they want to go out and looky-loo around. Or there's also undesirables that live in these evacuations too, and if they fail to evacuate, that's how they get out and about to do crimes and steal things.
Tom,
we don't want to have our people victimized twice.
Right. Sheriff Pasenko, there's a meeting today at 4 p.m. At the Civic Auditorium. That's for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for the public to learn information about the fire and what's going on and answer questions. We had one earlier at Alta Mesa School on Saturday. Days are kind of blending in a little.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. But there's about 3,500 firefighters working this fire. They have fire engines and equipment from all over the U.S. I know that they talked about fire trucks coming in from Florida for this fire. I know there was some coming in from Nevada early on. So it's still a big fight. Nearly 100,000 acres have been burned. Thousands have been over 38,000 have been displaced. We have evacuation centers at Foothill High School, Simpson University, Shasta College, Cross Point Community Church, and one in Weaverville at the high school, I believe. This fire is also pushed into the Trinity County area as well.
It was at the Trinity Shasta County line and had hot spots burning all around that.
It has pushed into Trinity County. Yeah. It's in Trinity County.
I understand that at Weaverville there was an evac for Weaverville, but that has been rescinded. But is Shasta Lake City still evacuated?
Okay, hang on just a second. Getting in my car and it's going to convert to hands-free here in a second.
Hey, we're on the move with Sheriff Tom Pasenko. We're live with Sheriff Tom Pasenko.
Okay,
right
I'm
now.
Back. So, Shasta Lake, there was an evacuation order given for the Summit City area.
Uh-huh.
And the reverse 911, you do it through a mouse click of drawing some lines of where you want to evacuate,
mm-hmm.
and that got into the city of Shasta Lake. Rather than rescind it, it was decided to leave it there because then there's evacuation. No, we're rescinding it. And then if the fire progresses, we have to evacuate. It causes even more confusion. There was no active door-to-door evacuation notices going.
Okay.
There's still a bit of a threat where it could push up towards the dam and into Shasta Lake. But they're reinforcing that, and we're assessing if we can even get the Summit City area released and opened up. And that's where we are with that.
I know how busy you are, Sheriff, and we're gonna let you go here. But so, what would you tell our citizens?
Be patient. These areas that have been evacuated and areas with damage in them, there's a whole process that has to be gone through with Cal Fire, our partners with the utility companies like PG&E, Reading Electric Utility, the gas side for PG&E and Reading Utilities, the power lines for electric, the phone lines. Those are all have to get out of the roadways and down. Also, the power poles. Some of them have been damaged, and they have a risk of falling. Same thing for trees. So we want to render that safe. And Rhodes also has been impacted before we repopulate those areas.
Okay.
And then also we have to go through, we're working on trying to compare missing persons reports with homes. And we have to clear those and then also look at the records that we have for the people that chose not to evacuate, but their homes were lost. And then we have to look in those to see if there was anybody that was killed as a result of not evacuating.
Was the sixth person, do you have any information about that person?
Yes. His family had told our investigators that he had received notification and chose not to evacuate. As you know, it's a very large fire, but on Thursday night, I believe that's when the firestorm really hit into the old Shasta,
mm-hmm.
Keswick, and then moved into Redding. This was a very, very fast-moving fire, and we worked with Cal Fire. They give us directions as to where evacuations need to occur. We try to get out way ahead and get those evacuation notices made, but the way this fire was moving, very fast, and sometimes you get a spot fire that causes the fire to leap, and it could be a mile in advance or more ahead of the main head of the fire.
It's a tragedy. We haven't heard any estimates then for people starting to come back in, even though we've seen them start lifting some of the evacuations.
We're starting to lift some. We had another fire down off of El Reno near Buenaventura. They're looking at getting those lifted. They did open up some roadways like North Market Street, but not into Lake Boulevard yet. And then also along 273, we expect some more areas to be lifted today, and there should be some news on that coming. Again, we have to work with our fire partners and the utility companies for safety purposes. And even if you don't see where there's been fire activity near where you're in an evacuation area, sometimes it's because of either fire apparatus in the area, which is very large, and or they're looking at the fire activity, which could be miles away, and then if that fire activity changes, the wind changes, they don't want it to blow into the area that has been evacuated, then we say it's okay to repopulate. Once people are in there, repopulated, it's very hard to get them out again, and of course we'd have to go through an evacuation process all over, so they look at a lot of factors before we repopulate an area.
And you know what? And this is what we need to get out to everybody, because there are people who are seeing other people moving in that they're not going to let somebody else come in back there where it could pop up again, or that you have, like you said, a power line drop, all the different things that can happen here. It's going to be another couple of days, folks. But it's going to happen. It's going to be happening in here.
Some people have been able to, quote, move back in, but they've been able to go around the roadblocks, sneak back in through other avenues, and that's not proper. They are in an evacuation area, and then if something changed, that would make it difficult, and they could put themselves at risk, and we don't want to see that. Please be assured that the fire folks, the law enforcement folks, we're doing everything that we can to get people back into their homes. We realize it's disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our personnel have been evacuated. One of my deputies lost his home. I know that there's some other county employees that have lost their home.
Chief Moore lost his home.
Chief Moore lost his home. So we're aware of this, and we're doing everything that we can to get people back in, either get back into their homes that weren't destroyed or able to open up the areas where the fire really had some heavy activity, so people can go in and do some assessments.
Okay. Hey, Sheriff Tom Basinko, thank you so much. We're going to be here for a long time today, Tom, so if you're up in the area, feel free to drop by.
I will.
We have coffee.
Special Board of Supervisors meeting for the emergency declaration that was made. The governor made a state of emergency for Shasta and other counties. And then through the governor's office, he was able to also secure some funding from the White House that's coming in.
and the White House is very much aware of the fire destruction here. And so we'll probably be in the future, once we do more damage assessments, looking for a FEMA and a declaration from the White House for an emergency area here as well.
Okay. Sheriff Tom Basenko, I know you've been running on 4 hours sleep now for the last 4 or 5 days. Thank you so much
if
for
that.
Yeah, if that. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. And you know what? You ought to have a driver. You know that? Thank you so much for calling, and we're going to take a quick break now. And Tom, be careful out there, and stop by if you can.
Thank you, Ben. Take care. Have a good day.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Terry, we'll get to you right after this break.
And we need to mention at this juncture, you are listening to KCNR Shasta Redding with our special coverage of the car fire incident. We will be back after these messages. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about the ground.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Summertime is fun time in Northern California. We're Billy and Patrick with your personal invitation to have more fun in a brand new Kia from Redding Kia, your official summertime fun headquarters.
Celebrate this summer with no payments for 90 days in a new 2018 Kia Niro. This sporty 50-mile-per-gallon crossover hatchback hybrid is showing up everywhere in NorCal.
I've got one. I love it.
And nothing says summer like the 2018 Kia Soul. That's the cool crossover that sits up nice and high, has tons of storage. Like all Kias, it's America's best value. We have a Soul, and it's perfect.
The 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento is here. There's room for your camping gear. It has power for towing and is at home on or off-road.
Get yours today and make no payments until fall.
No cost, lifetime oil changes and tire rotations are yours when you take home your new Kia from Redding Kia, proud sponsor of community events like the Mosquito Serenade.
Finance offer on approval of credit ends 8/10/2018. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Redding tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Carl's going to bring it home.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back to the show, KCNR 1460. And yeah, we're talking about a lot of heavy things, but, you know, we're so happy to be here our really good friend and mentor. But we do have somebody on the phone first that's been waiting. Terry, good morning. And welcome to our show this morning. What's on your mind?
Hello, Terry? Hello, Terry? Are we there? Hello, Terry?
I'm here.
Oh, you're live, buddy.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no. We're here, and we're just trying to catch it as we can as we go through
here. I have something on the lighter side to kind of caveat off of what Linda said, and that is kids do say the darndest things, and a couple of youngsters made a sign for the firefighters saying, "Thank you, firefighters. You guys kick ash." So, you know, I mean, and the optimism we have to have, folks, and
we have to, Terry.
These people out there fighting the fires, they have been just amazing. Just a real quick story. The other day I was getting gas on Thursday, and right next to me and pumping gas was a young lady, probably early 30s, texting on her phone while she was pumping the gas. And I said, "Boy," I said, "I go, the sheriff's on the radio right now, talking to folks." And she says, "Well, I'm texting my husband. He's a crew chief, with Cal Fire. And he was able to come home last night, for a couple hours, went to sleep for 3 hours, kissed me goodbye, told me he loved me. And then he said that he would be home in 72 hours. And she also said that he didn't know about his two comrades that had lost their lives, that they hadn't told them that, which probably is pretty understandable. But his name is Patrick, and so we've been praying for Patrick. And sometimes I think we forget about the families and the young families. So many of these guys leave behind as they go out there, and they protect us. And they have just been stellar. They have been amazing out there in the field. There was a great picture of some firefighters sleeping on the ground.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Yeah. In front of them, you know, as they were saving a guy's property, he came back to check it. And here they were all asleep, and he didn't want to wake them. But the picture is worth a thousand words.
Sure is.
You know,
tonight,
Terry,
we were going to have a meeting. Ben Berquim, a good friend, who's probably the lead proponent to stop this sanctuary state business, was coming tonight. But he won't be coming. We're canceling our meeting. Where we are here on near East Side Road, it's a lot more smoky than it was yesterday. Yesterday it wasn't quite as bad, but today we do have a lot of smoke. But as Tom said, there are people coming back. There's people who have already come back to Canyon Road, which is good news. And I think that they'll be letting some people back, like Tom said. But, you know, we need to pray for those firefighters. And, boy, I can't say enough. You know, we ought to do is have a – hey, Linda, let's have a big party, huh?
Yeah,
for all those guys.
Party.
I think
we should have a music party.
And this is a time that I see, Terry. You know, no matter what we look at, you know, on a political thing or other aspects, that this is the type of city that comes together, and we're going to come together on this and rebuild, and it will be a Phoenix party, like Dr. Patty Bay just said, as we're coming out of the ashes. Let's just have a hell of a party and then get down to work.
I'm with you, brother. That sounds good to me.
Okay,
Terry. Anyway, no meeting tonight at 2570 Bonneview Road, the church that shall remain nameless. There is no meeting tonight, and folks, you know, stay safe, keep your ear to the ground, and hey, I'll tell you what, we will come through this, and stay on that positive side. Remember, God's in control of this.
We got it. We are. I think that we're not going to let ourselves, we're not going to let our people, our friends, our listeners, everybody here, we're not going to get down.
And
we're
going to finish this. Thank you, and Linda and Bob, for what you guys do and getting the word out for folks. I mean, there's been good people on the other radio stations, too. All the media has done a very nice job of handling this, keeping people informed. And you're right about Sheriff Tom. You know, I'll tell you what, he looks like he's been run hard and put to bed wet. God bless him. He's not a spring chicken anymore, but boy, he sure is
getting
up there and doing his stuff.
A warrior. No, he's been a warrior through all of this.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, Terry. Thanks a lot.
The police chief. I mean, lost his home.
I know.
You know,
hasn't stopped
yet. But you know, these guys are out there, you know, doing what they have to do. The boots on the ground are just, can't say enough about those guys and gals out there. And, you know, God bless them and their families. Anyway, I'll get off here so you guys can get back to what you're doing.
Okay.
Take care, and thanks again for what you're doing there.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you so much. Hey, and speaking of that, we have
Dr. Patty Bay.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have you here with your smiling face and
considering that you've been evacuated.
Yeah, you've been evacuated. And you have a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about, okay, what did you? But there's so many things that one of the main things that we thought of is the aftermath. They've mentioned it a few times, and PTSD and what people go through when they're right in the middle of it now. And so people who are listening may be able to have an open heart or maybe a better understanding of what happens to you physically, psychologically, with loss, with sudden loss.
I think it's extremely serendipitous that you and Carl called me yesterday and said, would you come be on the show? Because I have been thinking and considering, how can we help people on a broader spectrum from just, I help one person at a time, obviously, and people I've been talking to. But there's so much I've wanted to say to people who are really struggling. And here's a picture that I want you to get. Let's picture the struggling of this fire on a spectrum. There's the people who are in their homes waiting and wondering and anxious. They've got their stuff packed. They're just waiting. Waiting is hard. It's anxiety producing. And then they sit there and say, well, my house didn't burn down. How come I'm sitting here feeling so badly? They are in a state of flux, in a state of transition, and they're on hold. And that's stressful. So they get to have that stress. And you need to acknowledge this is a difficult situation to be in. Then there's the people a little further up that spectrum who've been evacuated. I'm in that category. I've been evacuated. We're certain our home is still okay, which is good. And so we've got a little bit of anxiety. We're not at home. We're out of our routine. We don't have things. You start to remember, oh, darn, I forgot my X that you really need. So it starts to stress you a little bit from that angle. But at the same time, we're not in that category of people who are truly devastated. But we get to have our stress of, I just want to go home. In fact, in my head, I've probably said 40 times, I just want to go home. I want to go home. Little things like the plants on my deck are probably dying, and I love my garden. My vegetable garden's probably dying, and I'm just grieving my tomatoes. But that's different. Now we take people like some very dear friends of ours. We have about five sets of friends who have lost their homes. And they are feeling devastated, but they're in a very unique category, and I want to speak specifically to these people. There is this unconscious, quiet pressure to have that lovely spiritual reaction, and it sounds like this. I've lost my home, but we got out safely. We have our dog. We have our cat. Everybody's alive, and we are so blessed and so grateful, and we feel just thankful that we're out alive. That is true, but let's go down a little deeper. One friend who said, a very, very dear friend of theirs who passed away had some paintings in her house, and they weren't able to grab those paintings. Those are gone. And so she started thinking, oh, the paintings. And she got extremely sad, and then she felt guilty for feeling sad. And we have to allow ourselves whatever layer of loss and guilt and shame, and I didn't get them, or I yelled at my husband that he didn't grab them. I feel horrible. And then she tries, all of people that have lost their homes try to go back to, but I'm so grateful. Yes, you are grateful that you got out alive. But there is a sense of loss and trauma and devastation that you are allowed to feel. And one of the things those of us who have not lost our homes can do for those who have is to allow them those feelings. Don't try to act like you know what they feel. We don't. We haven't lost our home. But don't do those platitudes that say, but you're out alive. You should be so grateful. Yes, they are. Just say, this is horrible. This is devastating. I know you must be hurting. I'm here.
So would this be the thing that comes up into my mind, and so I'm asking you because you're a doctor of, psychology and what goes on in the brain. Is this the time for those, like, in level one, to just pay attention to your mind and instead of having the answers, really just listen? Mm-hmm. Let that person grieve in their way, and you just are the friend or the person to let them have their feelings.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very good point, Linda. We want to just listen. And let people express what they need to express. And don't try to fix their feelings. Just listen. And we think we're doing a good thing by offering those platitudes of, but you're so lucky to have. And
That's true, but it also puts pressure on them to then not feel the loss and the grief. And the healing happens in going through what you're feeling, not trying to skip around it.
The people that we see in combat all the time, the fact is I made it through, they didn't.
Right. Survivor's guilt.
Survivor's guilt. Can you address that?
Yes, and I'm already hearing survivor's guilt. My daughter was feeling extremely upset about all of this and about the whole West Side where we've always lived and, you know, going up in flames. And she said, but I don't have a right to feel bad. You know, we haven't lost our home yet, this home yet, you know. I don't have a right to feel bad. And I said, yes, you do. You get to feel upset. And so we talked about it being survivor's guilt. She's a former Navy person. You know, she was in the military.
Sure.
And so she gets it that all our military people feel survivor's guilt when they come home and friends and family that they have did not. So I said, this is like survivor's guilt. You feel angry at yourself and guilty and shame for feeling upset when you haven't suffered as great a loss as someone else. And she said, yeah. So we need to use that guilt and that shame as a call to consciousness. Whenever we feel guilt and shame, whether it's about anything, it's a call to our consciousness to say, what am I feeling and why? So you're right, Carl. There's a lot of survivor's guilt out there that, some people's houses survived where everybody around them
are devastated. And that's one of the ones I was talking about. We have friends who, I was literally on the phone with them and talking to her, and he grabs the phone and says, we've got to go. The fire is here. Click. And we didn't hear anything. So we got a hold of them. And in their little cul-de-sac there, the fire came up. It burnt the fence between their house and the next house. Their house and their lawn furniture went up, but their house might have been scorched, but it's okay and smoke damage. But then the house next to them was okay on one side. The house next to that was okay. But everything on the other side, that house on the other side, all the way around the rest of that cul-de-sac, gone.
Right.
So the capriciousness of this, the fact that it hits one house and another, it hits that guy next to you, or the guy, you know, five down that steps on something and it takes out three people and it stops before it gets to you, you will go crazy if you try to figure this out.
Yes.
I mean, this is something, why me, why me? Or why not me, why not me? Don't try to get too deep into it. Don't try to figure this out. There is no rhyme or reason on some of this.
Well, let's look at that a little deeper. I had a friend who lost her house. And she was doing the, okay, I'm grateful to be out. And she goes, and besides, I wouldn't want to be the only house standing in a bunch of whole old houses. And then everybody builds up brand new around me. And I've got the old nasty ass house on the block.
That's one way of looking at it, right?
We were laughing. And she said, so they're all gone, which is probably good. None of us has to feel guilty for our still standing. And we were kind of laughing about it. But it's true. You know, there are so many feelings from relief that your house is there and you didn't lose those things that you can't replace, to guilt that you're the only one on the block that survived, to that feeling of, dang, I'm going to have the nasty house on the block and everybody's going to have brand new.
Can we talk a little bit about, not so funny, the psychologically, like,
I've never thought of it like that. That's
yeah,
kind of cool.
It is funny. It's a funny outlook, okay? But, like, I was talking about the physicality of what happens in panic. Carl being a Marine and the adrenaline and actually the first responders, but for somebody who perhaps hasn't had, you've got an hour to get, and you're watching the news and you're grabbing stuff and you're trying, even though you think you have a go bag, so you've had go bags all over the house, it's a different thing than your home and now, and you're going to get a knock on your door and it's everybody around you is evacuating and trying to, okay. So what physically happens to your body at that point?
We have to remember that when we are stressed, we go into a fight or flight mode. And there's a few things that happen from a brain perspective. One is that when you are in adrenaline mode, you go into your amygdala. Your amygdala is fight, flight, or freeze. So we don't want to freeze in a fire.
No.
We don't want to get immobilized. And some people do. They start going, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to stay here. It'll be fine. That's freeze mode. We don't want to do that. But when we're in the amygdala and we're in that fight, flight, or freeze mode, it's not our best analytical self. We tend to do things by emotion. So you have to watch for that, and we want to try and stay as calm as possible. So there's first the panic. Then our system gets flooded with cortisol and adrenaline, which makes us feel like we've had 10 cups of coffee, which gives you the ability to flee. So we want to try and stay conscious that we don't want to get irrational. We want to channel that energy into productive direction and think as logically as you can. What do I need to survive? What's food, clothing, shelter? What do I need to survive? Then after that, what are the things that are important to me emotionally? But what you're speaking to, Linda, is very, very important. When we are in super angst, we're not in our best mind.
Okay. And I think that everybody could probably have, I'm sure there's going to be several things written about what people. Donnie Greenberg did a wonderful article. I know you're going to have one to come up to.
Well, Donnie's coming. Mm-hmm. Donnie's coming on at about 10 o'clock today to talk about this on a visceral thing. It's one thing to be able to talk about it as, okay, we know this is a fire, you know, and you call it a fire, but it's more than that. To a lot of people, it's a monster. It's the beast. That photograph that one firefighter took of it looking like a dragon's head.
Mm-hmm. It's an
That's
inferno.
Exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Patty Bay.
Yeah.
On her.
Can we say it?
Marriage.
Yeah, I'm getting married.
Yeah, and we're very, very excited. And you know, it just because of everything that's happening right now, I'm sure it's been postponed, but we are with you 100% and know that you're truly happy, and we feel blessed that we have you in our lives.
Oh, thank you.
And your significant other.
Uh-huh. Well, you just shocked me because I didn't know we were going to go in this direction.
We were supposed to get married
yesterday, and we had a whole wedding planned for yesterday, and the wedding got postponed because of the fire.
And we were going to be there.
Yes, you were. So yesterday we went down to our church, and we had our family there, and we got married because Randy's son was here from Tennessee. So we got married yesterday, and I'm really happy.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't know that.
It was a wedding out of the flames.
You've gone through the flames already.
I got to tell you something wonderful. One of the police officers, we went up to him and we said, we're supposed to get married today and our wedding got canceled and we're going to go over to the church and just have our family and we're going to get married anyway. And then we'll have the other wedding. But we said, all our wedding stuff is in the house. And he drove us up to the house and let us run in and get our stuff and bring it out. And I am just so grateful to those two CHP officers that helped us do that because
little miracles.
I got to wear my dress yesterday.
Aww.
And the girls got to wear their dresses and
Lane
and Randy got to wear the stuff we bought for them to wear.
I know that it's a personal thing, but I saw Randy outside and I think the world of him.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that, I thought, you know what, there is, you know, life, and here's the important thing. People need to understand. Life continues to go on.
Yeah.
We can't just stop. Yes, we've taken a punch to the face. We've gotten a liver shot. I mean, you know, you're down on one knee, but we're coming back up.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't let life not go on.
Well, and my story personally is such a story of perseverance and survival. You guys loved Rich, my husband that died. He had a terminal brain disease for 8 years. I didn't know if I would ever come out of that devastation, if I would ever be happy again or find new life. And I've moved on with my life. But it doesn't mean I stopped loving Rich. It means that I have added to my life.
Right.
Just like people that have lost their houses are not going to have lost everything. They're going to have those memories. They're going to rebuild.
And they'll mourn.
They'll grieve. They'll be devastated. And the funny thing is you will figure out something you left in that house when you go looking for it, and you'll fall to your knees, and you'll sob. And my advice is to allow that to happen. One of the ways I feel like I was able to rise out of the grief of Rich dying was I embraced it. I allowed it. In fact, I'm going to say the S word here. Do I get in trouble for saying the poop word?
Stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Okay, I'll say the stuff. Thank you, Bob. What I advise people to do when they are having devastation and trauma is to hold the dog stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you want to picture that you've got a hot, steamy mess in your hands and you're going, how did I get this in my hands? Or you might even know how you got it in your hands. The secret to dealing with it is not to fling it around the room, not to put it all over yourself or stuff it in your own heart, not to throw it on someone else and blame them, but to hold it and to look at it and to say, what is this and what do I need to learn from this? How do I need to move through this? And one of the ways I really worked my grief of Rich dying was I held a dog poop. I held it. I fell to my knees, and I was a chocolate mess a lot, and I held it. And that's what I want the message to be for people who are now grieving various losses in this fire, whether it's our RFD guys who are grieving the loss of Jeremy Stokes and other people, the chief that died. They were already grieving, which made their resiliency low, and now they've lost another firefighter. They are reeling. RFD is reeling in their grief. And my advice to them is to just hold them. And Carl, that's how we avoid PTSD.
It is. And
you know, feel it.
You take it, you embrace it.
Yeah.
You embrace it and you work through it. And when you try to think of why him and not me, and there's not an answer to that.
No.
There isn't. I mean, you can believe that God has his ways of handling these things. That it doesn't mean that person is not a good a person as you are. Maybe in many cases there are better people per se than we are, but there's a plan here, and what you have to do then, you embrace it, you look at it just like you said, what can I take from this, and then just move on.
Right, and now let's put that into any spiritual framework that works for you. If you've got a handful of something really nasty to deal with, how it got there is up to you to figure out. Was it a divine gift from God? And I believe that all adversity we go through is a divine gift. I don't think God looks at this and says, I'm going to give you a nasty gift and you a good gift. I think we get given gifts and we're supposed to deal with them, whether it's our husband dying or our house burning down or losing a dear friend or family member. It's a gift that we are to deal with. So however that dog stuff, Bob.
his hand's hovering.
Just trying to keep the lights.
He's gonna ding me over here. That dog stuff in your hands, however you deal with it, the important thing is you know it's there. Then you don't run from it. You let yourself feel it. You fall to your knees and cry. You say, my friend's painting was burned up in the house, and I'm so sad about it. Be sad.
So I think what is really amazing, and we're going to have to come back and do stats. You know, right now, if you're just tuning in, we have Dr. Patty Bay here. We've been talking about the trauma of what happens psychologically and physically, what happens with loss and what we're dealing with. But also, I think it's a fine example in just finding out myself now that here you're evacuated. You grabbed the important things that you thought. You're in your toy hauler.
Mm-hmm.
And you were supposed to get the big wedding was yesterday, and we thought it was canceled, but you decided.
Well, it was canceled.
It was canceled.
Wedding was not canceled. The wedding, the wedding, but they still got married. So still, through all this craziness, you said, your son's here, the date's planned, let's do it. Because we're going to show, we're going to prove with who we are that. Mm-hmm. That we move forward. Yes, craziness is around it, but this is set. We are going to do this. I think that is an example.
Thank you. You know, Randy and I didn't tell anybody this, but we knew that after we said, okay, let's go ahead with tomorrow, we did this Saturday to say, let's go ahead with tomorrow. So it wasn't, you know, we were so discombobulated from being evacuated. But we wrote an email to KRCR and said, look, we're kind of private people. Like, I haven't put all over my Facebook anything about my personal relationship or anything, so I'll have to do that now because people are out there going, oh, Patty. Anyway, so, but we said to KRCR.
We announced it on the show today.
We did. You guys got to do it. But we had written to KRCR and said, look, we realize you're really busy and we don't know if this is something you need or want, but we are willing to tell our story because we want to give people hope. That you can keep going in the midst of adversity.
In the midst of all this,
so
we've got to keep
going. KRCR has been extremely busy and doing an incredible job covering
things. They have been.
But, you know, I love you too. And when you called yesterday, I thought, this is as it should be.
You are a person that has dealt with so much tragedy with people out there in your own personal life, moved on. And I knew that people needed to know about the post-traumatic stress that's going to happen.
Yes.
That what they're feeling is
is something that they've got to embrace, and they can't keep it in. If you keep it in, it's just going to get worse, which is what, mm-hmm. what we've been talking about today. If you have a question for Dr. Patty Bay, you can give us a call right now.
I'd love for them to call.
Yeah, and give us a call at 605-4567 if you have a question. But there's going to be, they're going to be, have to be setting I would imagine
centers,
call
for, lines,
to, you know, for people for grieving and to help people move through.
It's already starting to happen, and we'll talk more about that. And I want to also talk when we come back about ways to not go into PTSD.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
You obviously really love washing your car. Your wheels always look like you just got your car detailed.
Oh, I hate washing my car. That's why I'm in the Car Wash Club at Premier Oil Change. I can run my car through their state-of-the-art new car wash all month long for a fixed price.
Now, that's out of my budget.
You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's very affordable. It starts at $22 a month, and it is fast. I get my car washed in under 5 minutes. They have free vacuums right next to the freeway. Easy in, easy out. I also like the oil change service. Having an infant and not having to get out of my car is a huge plus.
What a great service. Glad I asked. I'll check it out tomorrow.
Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change and unlimited car wash.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. The Sports and Show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You know what? They're going to be out there helping people move their dreams forward after this. They're one of the reasons that we can continue to be on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day here at Free Fire Media and KCNR 1460. Number of things are happening, too, just quickly. Is the Wind River is opening up today at noontime. They've been shut down. We talked about the evacuation centers. And, of course, Shasta College is closed not closed, but they are at capacity. Simpson is open. The president of Simpson will be here probably around 9 o'clock. Foothill High School is open. Cross Point Community Church on Hartnell is open. There's several others that are taking people to road closures, 273, really from Benaventura South. I'm sorry, north. I'm sorry, south is closed between Redding and Anderson. Bonneview, Breslauer, Brandstetter, Clear Creek, Kenyon, and Westside on the south. The 17 square miles in Redding are vacant due to evacuations. 38,000 people, 98,000 acres, 20% contained. The Shasta-Trinity County line is on fire. It's moved into Trinity County. So these things going on. We're talking to Dr. Patty Bay, and we're talking about the impact, a psychologist here in town, well-known psychologist in town here. We're talking about the impacts of these fires on people, the post-traumatic stress that they're going to be hitting, that there's going to be a number of probably centers that are going to be opening, and then how to handle this. And what happens? What do you tell your kids, Patty?
Your own kids when something happens?
Yeah, like this, something like this. I mean, because you've got to be kind of, you've got to be strong in front of them, yet you have to at the same time embrace this. This loss,
mm-hmm.
and be able to move on.
One of the best things we can do to help our own children is to model for them how to feel. The thing one of the very first things I do in therapy with people is I'm looking for how able are they to discuss their feelings. Somebody who's not very developed can say they're frustrated or angry. Somebody who's more developed can say more complicated, more diverse feelings. And so the best gift we can give our children, whether they're dealing with a bully at school or their house burned down, is how do you feel about this and that's okay. Don't tell them not to. Don't tell them boys don't cry. Don't tell them we just need to be grateful that we're all out alive. Yes, that can come in the conversation, but it's yes, you're sad that your teddy bear burned up. Yes, you're sad that your posters on your wall aren't there anymore. Don't belittle that. Don't deny it. Just say, of course you're sad. And hold them and say, just cry. In fact, I have a sign in my office up at the top by the wall that says, breathe. And some of my clients take pictures of it and make it their wallpaper on their phone.
Right.
Because when you're going through trauma, my best advice is breathe and cry. Breathe and cry. And just feel it. That's dealing with the stuff in your hand and feeling it. So teach your children. Feel it. What are you feeling? What are you missing? Of course you're missing that. I'm so sorry that you lost that. You're sad.
We were talking about overstimulation at the break, and I was saying, I was sharing with you that, you know, on Thursday, you know, it was Facebook. I found myself in shock. People were finding that our neighbors, and I kept saying to Carl, everybody's on the street. They're evacuating. Why aren't you? What are we doing here? You know, so we were going through our own, like, my alarms were going off all day, and it took a while before we actually started packing and stuff. But
we have different alarm sets.
A different alarm set. So anyway. Yeah,
your alarm's really high, Colonel.
Yeah. Right.
As I imagine your new husband. Is
yeah.
Very,
he's military,
is very,
too. Yeah, many,
so
many years.
It's a very, you know what? Our alarm set is different.
Uh-huh.
But what I had to do was embrace Linda's because she was getting upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
starting to panic.
Well, it's interesting because Randy and I actually had that conversation. He was moving, like, Randy's idea of a go bag is, you know what a go bag looks like in the military.
Yeah.
It's a backpack. That's about it.
That's it. We have
my
that.
Idea of a go bag was much bigger.
Yes. With a trailer.
It was the back of the fifth wheel.
Yeah.
So I said to him, look, my go mode is impressive and slightly annoying.
Yeah.
So can we embrace my go mode because I will start to get really upset if we don't. And he said, I can do that.
Okay.
Well, and that's
that was
what
good.
Happened.
That,
so,
was, that know, was communication right there.
Yeah, so, you know, at a certain point, Linda's go mode was very obvious. So
the China was like, we got to take the China.
So we packed everything that we could possibly pack.
My family memories, whatever.
And I had a Trader Joe's grocery bag with all my stuff.
That was it.
So that
anyway, and his go bag.
But we have a go bag with stuff in it, you know, medical supplies, food, those kind of things that we have ready anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you take, you know, a variety of things that, you know, that if you did lose them, like a, you know, photograph album, you know, so you have a couple of those.
Your daughter's baby book.
Daughter's baby book. Okay. But again, this is two different people of two different
mindsets.
Mindsets. Mm-hmm. in the same situation, and we have to be very open to the other person's mindset.
Yeah.
Because if I had just totally ignored it, it would have been rough.
Yeah, well, if she had looked at you and said, leave the guns, you would have just started laughing.
Well, the neighbor across the street, our dear neighbor across the street, was, I came out, she had a saddle, and she was walking up her steps, and she said, I was going to evacuate a horse on a certain street, and she said I couldn't get through. So the next thing, 1 hour or 2 hours, I don't even know how many hours left, email comes in. A mutual friend that lived on Victoria lost her house. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Carl's still moving like molasses in my mind. Like what? You know, and the neighbors are converging on the street, and everybody's got their big eyes, and we're trying to make plans as neighbors what we're going to do. And I said, if we get a knock on our door, because I kept like, do we have 911 on our phone? I mean, all that stuff. And, we're, you know, it's a hypervigilance of, you know, now what we're going to do and grabbing stuff. At least we had time. For some people, they had 40 minutes or 30 minutes or 10 minutes.
And that's the thing I was talking about before. Some people will go into their amygdala and run around in circles like a chicken with their head cut off and look chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Your go mode needs to be focused and direct. And that's one reason we like people to prepare for evacuation long before they need to. It's not good for you to be running around throwing grandma's china into the back of the truck, and which is what people do when they're freaked
and
out.
Right. And things get broken. Mm-hmm. Linda had everything packed, and mm-hmm. I said, are you ready to go? She goes, yeah. I said,
now relax.
I said, really? And she goes, oh. Because she was running around in a house dress. And so I said, that's the way you want it back? And she goes,
no, nope. At one point you looked at me and you said, you got serious. The serious mode was you looked at me and you pointed and you said, I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to argue with me. I want you to follow my directions. And you said it in a tone. I said, absolutely. Put your long pants on. Put a baseball cap on. Get a bandana. Put on your tennis shoes. Tell me what to do. And I followed the orders. I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. And
you know what? It's been the high point of my life. You know what? That has been the high point of my life.
Randy's out in the waiting room doing the happy dance.
This
right
may
now.
Not be repeated any time.
I have achieved many things in my life. You know, we have taken buildings. We have gone, fought inside. We have been in combat all over the world. And this has got to be one of the top three moments in my life when I said, listen to me. Don't argue. Just do what I say. And she said, okay. And I went, and she meant it.
Oh, yeah, and I did follow your orders.
Yes. Minute at that time.
Yes.
You know, later on, things change, but that's okay.
Well, and, you know, we're joking here, but let's look at the seriousness of this. In an emergency, you need a designated leader.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right?
Yeah.
And between a couple or a family, there needs to be, in a disaster, this person will tell us what to do. And it needs to be the person who goes least into their amygdala and panics. And in our families, I mean, we've got the lieutenant colonel here, and we've got Randy with his vast military experience. When they say ABC now, you need to have already said that's the designated leader in this crisis. Because the experience is there. The level-headedness is there. For you two has been proven under fire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you did a very wise thing, saying, yes, I will do that. So that's one reason I needed to get our stuff packed up like I needed to do. But he was on guard for, if that fire's coming, this is what we're going to do, and you will listen. And I did the same thing. Yes.
So, you know, in those, you know, so it's, again, you're working as a team.
Exactly.
And this is what is important for the future, my friends, is that it's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to be easy.
A whole new normal.
In fact, it will be a new normal. Today at 4 p.m., they're going to have a meeting at the Civic Auditorium. It's for everybody that wants information. Tomorrow, the city councils have an emergency meeting at 9 a.m. Today at 10 o'clock, Mayor Christian Schrader is going to be on our show. We've had Dr. Patty Bay, and we're going to keep you for another few minutes there, young lady. How do people get a hold of you? Or, I mean, or is it because you've been displaced and everything?
Well, you can go to my email, patriciabay.com, and you can send an email. It says email Dr. Patty on there. And I'll filter through emails as best I can and help people get to resources. The therapists in town are already talking about how can we help. Some have been Red Cross trained, some have not, but there are ways that we're going to help. So it's very important to all of us to do that. So there will be help being organized. We were talking before about trying to have some kind of Phoenix party. I've had a vision of us having a Phoenix party that is a fundraiser for the people that need the help, people that weren't insured, people that have lost everything. And Randy is a professional musician. He's a Native American Flutist of the Year. Randy's willing to play. We can do, in that Phoenix party, we can do a little bit of how are you doing, everything. Yeah. We can make it fun. We can make it, we can cry together. We can play some music. We can raise money. And we can be good at it.
We've had so many people approach us. One of Linda's best friend's husband said, okay, how do I help? Where do I donate to?
What do you need, packages?
And I told him, just hold off until Monday, and we'll have a pretty good idea. And, you know, when it gets right down to it, yeah, there's care packages and all this, but it's going to be money. Because money is the one that buys the stuff. I mean, we can get, you know, toothpaste and all that kind of stuff, yes. However, it's going to be fundraisers that's going to help people buy those things that they need, that takes it. Like, I've seen things that they're going to give people when they head back to their homes, shovels and gloves and things like this. And how sad that is, that, hey, I'm going back to my house with my shovel and my gloves, so I can kind of, like, look through my stuff.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things we're going to do when I take my 11-year-old granddaughter to get her backpacking school supplies, we're going to buy an extra one, just like what she likes for 7th grade, for another 7th grade child who's lost everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, and get it all decked out, just like she's going to be decked out, and help a child in a very concrete way who lost everything. And she has a couple friends that have lost their houses.
Okay, so cool thing about that is that it's symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
It's movement. If people need to feel like they're giving something. And for some people, it's a visceral thing.
Yeah.
You can write a check.
Right.
But there's something about that.
And it trains our children.
Yes, it does.
It shows my 11-year-old granddaughter, Allison, this is how we help your couple of friends who lost their houses. We do something very concrete that you can walk up to them and hand them their backpack so you feel like you're participating as well. You said you're having Donnie Chamberlain on later today, and I wanted to...
Donnie's going to be on around 10 o'clock.
Donnie, I love Donnie. She's amazing.
And you write for her?
I write for anewscafe.com, and I will be writing articles on this because one of the articles I wrote for anewscafe.com is about loss and resiliency. When our resiliency is low, either by illness or by prior loss, we are more vulnerable to PTSD, and we're more vulnerable to not handling another grief-striking episode poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at our RFD guys. They lost their chief just before this started, so their resiliency was a bit low. Many RFD guys I have seen have PTSD from years of fires.
Sure.
So they already have strikes in their armor on their resiliency, and now they've lost another firefighter, and they are reeling. So these are mega strong people. But we need to look at loss and resiliency. So I'll be writing some articles for a news cafe. Donnie has recently put in a soft wall to pay $5 a month for that publication. It is awesome. They do some incredible work, and it's worth the $5 a month.
I tell you what, news cafe, and that's why we wanted to have Donnie in here. The other thing, too, when we're talking about this, about our firefighters, it used to be a seasonal job for a lot of them, you know, and then they could rest up and do other things. It's a new norm, as we've said. This is year-round now. And these firefighters, when they finish here, they're not finished.
No,
they're going to move to another fire, into another fire, into another fire. And this is where the resiliency that you're talking about is important, because it's just like being in combat. At some point, we're going to have to pull them out and give them 60 days at least to come down, 30 days at a minimum to come down.
Well, and the military guys I've treated with PTSD, they often went back for tour after tour after tour.
Well, once it's what we do.
I know.
You know, it's what we do.
But you also have the chinks in the armor on your resiliency, which makes you more vulnerable to PTSD. So the main issue I want to get out today about PTSD is don't ignore it. Don't pretend you can be strong and it goes away. With our military men, that was not a good formula.
No.
Our military, not just men and women. And with people going through this devastation, it is not what you do. You embrace the pain, you embrace the hardship, and you get help. And we're going to see what we can do about getting lots of help out there for people.
Well, it took the military a while, but the military is big on that. Totally into it at this, is helping our men and women. And it's the same thing out there, my friends. We've been in combat. We've been in a very horrendous combat for a week. And it's going to last a few more days, but we need to come back. And we're going to have Dr. Bay back on again.
We'll do this regularly to help people.
So people can call in and stuff. I know people right now are reeling, and they will be for a while.
And so breathe and cry.
Do you think it's important that we just try to continue on, or is that pushing it under the carpet? Like, you got married yesterday. We need to continue on with cleaning our homes, getting our stuff done, continuing on, helping people around us, being aware.
The more normalcy we can create in our lives is going to help us calm down. It helps our amygdala let go and stop being in fight or flight. So you want to try and cook dinner. You want to try and do what you have to do to get back into life. And we also need to recognize that lots of people are losing their businesses, losing their income, as people can't go do what they're supposed to do. They can't open their doors for work. We need to be patient. We need to know that life is not as it was a few days ago, and to be patient with everybody. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but try to get back into your normalcy as best you can, and when it hurts, breathe and cry.
Dr. Patty Bay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Love you both.
Well, I love you too, hon.
Congratulations.
And we'll give Randy a hug as soon as this is over.
KCNR 1460, we're live on the air right now. And of course, we're going to be covering more on the car fire. We have special guests in the house. We're going to be covering a lot of stuff here. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
And you're listening to our special coverage of the car fire here on KCNR 1460. Instead of switching to Laura Ingram, which we would normally do at this time, we will stay live right here. We're going to allow SRN Town Hall News to roll at the top of the hour while we sort of gather our thoughts, change over people in the studio. Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Reading. News brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. See their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive. We will be back in 5 minutes.